Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see so many people here this morning. So many visitors. Some have come great distance. It's good to see you all again. If you're a first-time visitor, we do have visitor's card in the pew in front of us, and we would appreciate if you'd fill one out and either hand it to one of the members here, or there is a plate on a chair in the back of the room, you can put it there as well, and then we'll have a record of your visit. Thanks for reading that scripture. I will probably cover it again. This morning, the sermon topic is going to be on godliness. Godliness. That was in that scripture. I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but I'll make sure that you're reminded of what Peter has to say to those who he wrote this letter to and eventually to us as well. Godliness is the quality or practice and conforming to the laws and wishes of God. It's devoutness or moral uprightness. I've underlined those two words because they're going to show up again in the scriptures. Godliness is God-likeness. I'm pretty sure I heard D. Bowman say it that way. And he had a way with words. God wants us to be like Him. Godliness. Matthew read the words in chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. I'm just going to go over them slightly just to emphasize the points that I want to make here. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things. Not just some of the things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. God-likeness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And then there's a list of another six qualities that Matthew read. And then finally he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to conform your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Okay. Now we'll look at more scriptures that use these words. What are the qualities listed? Well, a quality is an essential or distinctive characteristic, property, or an attribute. Okay, let's move on. Peter is reminding us to supplement. You know, we take supplements. He wants us to add these qualities to our faith. And their virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. And the way they're talked about is their building, that one builds upon the other, and we need to add these things to the way we live our lives. And then what are we supposed to do with these things? Practice. For if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. Wow. That's great. To practice means to repeatedly perform or to do habitually. And I've listed some of the things that we are familiar with. For instance, if you want to be a great pianist, you don't go take a college course on how to play the piano. If you want to be a great golfer, you don't talk to Kevin and he tells you how to be a great golfer. If you want to be a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, an engineer, whatever, you got to practice and practice. You got to put the hours in. Every day. Right? Every day. Practice, practice, practice. So those qualities that were listed, we got to practice them. Can't take a day off. I'm going to talk this morning just about adding virtue to our faith. One thing to add to our faith. Well, let's first talk about faith. We've got to add to our faith. Well, what is faith? Well, the scriptures has a lot to say about that. Actually, it all starts with faith. Faith is fundamental. It's basic. It's our foundation. And it's interesting, the word in the Bible, faith, belief, and trust, all have the same root in the Greek. And sometimes you'll see they're actually kind of interchanged between the two. You have faith in something, you believe in something, you trust in something. And that word, that Greek word, those Greek words appear over 500 times just in the New Testament. So I think it's important. It's fundamental. It's foundational. Biblical faith is based on two sources of evidence. The inspired Word of God and everything God made, everything we can see. So it's not a blind faith. It's not just something you feel. It's not like, oh, I was sleeping and I was floating in the sky and I, oh yeah. No. It's rock solid, foundational. It's based on what God says here and what we see. Paul wrote Timothy, all scripture is breathed out. That's inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture. Now when Paul wrote this, probably was referring to the Old Testament at the time, but the New Testament is also called scripture in the Bible. And you know what? You can't say, well, I didn't know God. I'm sorry. You know, I grew up on a desert island all by myself. And nobody talked to me. And I didn't even know you existed. If I knew you existed, I would have worshipped you. Well, guess what? If you're on a desert island all by yourself, God will send somebody to tell you about Him. If you want to find out, just knock. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Romans 1. We don't have any excuse for not knowing about our Creator. He's put it in us to want to know Why? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Seek it and you will find it. And biblical faith is more than just saying that we believe in something. Oh, yeah, I believe. I believe that there is a Mount Washington in the state of New Hampshire. I've never seen it, but I believe it's there. Well, there's evidence that it's there. I can talk to some people who were there just the other day, and I believe them. So our biblical faith is based on the evidence, the Word of God, and what we see. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Well, that's great. You do well. Even the demons believe. They shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac at the altar? You see, faith was active along with his works, and faith was complete by his works. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. There's that word believed. And it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. When we die, our spirit separates from our fleshly body. So faith apart from works is dead. If we have biblical faith, you can see it in how we live and what we do. It's not this, oh, I know that, and do nothing about it. And the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, you know, talks about men of faith and what they did. And it says in verse 1 through 6, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I haven't seen God. For by it people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And I said, as you said before, Hebrews chapter 11 shows us many people of faith along with their actions. For this very reason, Peter says, make every effort to supplement, that's to add to your faith, with virtue. So now we're going to move on. What is virtue? This is the quality we're going to look at. Finally, we got to a quality. Well, virtue is goodness. It's excellence. It's the best. Peter wrote in his first letter to those people, he said, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That's us. A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chapter 2, verse 3, his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Our lives are to reflect the excellencies of our Creator. We were created in the image of God. We're image bearers. We need to reflect God's image in the way we live. Virtue, excellence. We need to reflect God's excellence by the way we live. Paul wrote, okay, this is neat. I like this verse in the letter Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you've learned and reserved and seen in me, practice, practice, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Bringing this lesson to conclusion, God wants us to be like Him. God likeness, godliness, which I said that's the title of this morning's lesson. Peter lists the qualities that we need to add to our faith. Talked about how faith is foundational. Our faith is not blind, it's based on evidence. We can have confidence in our faith in God. We haven't seen God, but we can be confident. Peter wants to remind us of these things. Peter's getting old. Didn't know how much longer he's going to be around. I'm getting old. I don't know much longer I'm going to be around. But I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep pressing you to be godly. And therefore, he said, "I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder." That's verse 12 of 2 Peter. So that, why? You'll never fall. Remember what he said in verse 10? "Therefore, brothers, be of more diligence to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Today we looked at the quality of virtue, goodness and excellence. Future lessons, to be continued, we'll look at the remaining six qualities. Our custom is to, when we have a group of people, we don't know your relationship with God. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you trust? Do you know God? Do you believe in Jesus and His sacrifice for our sins? If you do, but you haven't responded to that information, what did Peter say? We read about Peter today. What did he say to those Jews who realized that they had crucified the Messiah, the Christ? They didn't know what to do. Well, he told them what to do. He said, "Repent." It means change the way you're living and be baptized. And that means to be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. They were immersed in water. They had their sins washed away. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And the message continued to spread throughout the world. And here we are today. We are those people who are far off with the Gentiles. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't responded to Peter's message, you can do that right now. We have warm water. And we can plunge you in there bury you, and you're going to come up a new creature. If, on the other hand, you've already done that, but you know there's some things bothering you, and you would like to hear the prayers of this congregation and have them help you get through your difficult time, that's also something you can let us know. And so if you're comfortable coming forward and letting us know, we'll talk to you down here and let people know your desires. If you want to tell somebody later on, that's great too. Whatever, the invitation is now yours as we stand and sing.